Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And we're going to read from verse 1 of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. And we're going to read from verse 1. Genesis, chapter 22, beginning a reading at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abram. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abram arose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took a fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abram built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bowed Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we rejoice today in our sight of Calvary. We thank thee for the blessed Lord Jesus, the one who went to that cross and shed his blood that we might be redeemed. Gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst draw us nigh to thee. O God, as we stand upon holy ground, may we be conscious of the Lord's presence here. Shut us in with thee. Speak through thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. At 11:30 a.m. on May the 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary hoisted the British flag upon the Mount Everest. In doing so, he became the first man, human being, to climb to the top of that highest mountain in the world. He achieved the ultimate as far as mountain climbing is concerned. Now, of course, it didn't happen without long months of planning. They had to spend months training and rehearsals, going up to different mountains in Nepal, and acclimatizing themselves to the mountain heights. And even so, the climb was fraught with danger. Many times they faced cliffs of ice. Many times disaster was near at hand. Death seemed to stare them in the face. There are many times when they almost despaired and gave up with the great task that lay to their hand. But then, on that last day, tired and weary, they came to the very ultimate height, 29,002 feet above sea level.
And no man will ever climb higher than he climbed. And there is nowhere higher to climb in the physical sense. But you know, we come to this portion of Scripture, and I want you to see that Abram climbs the heights spiritually as he goes not to Everest, but to Mount Moriah. There is no one that had climbed higher than he climbed, than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The only one that went to spiritual heights higher than him was the Savior himself when he went to Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary is higher than Mount Moriah. But nevertheless, here is Abram climbing this highest mountain of submission, and Isaac climbing the highest mountain of sacrifice. Remember how God had promised Abram a seed, that in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed? Old Bishop Warburton has the opinion that Abram desired to know of God how he would bless all the nations in him. And Bishop Warburton says that this is why God gave Abram the command that he did. And God said to Abram, take now thy son, your only son, the son of promise, and take him to a land that I will show thee. And there Abram was to offer Isaac as a burnt offering upon the altar to God. And Abram can't understand it. And he can't take in what God is commanding him to do. But Abram, I believe, sees that God is able to raise him from the dead. We're told in the book of Hebrews that by faith Abram was willing to do what he did because he saw that God was able to raise him from the dead. If you look in verse 6 of this chapter, it says, and Abram took, verse 5 rather, he says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I and the lad. So Abram believes that God is able to raise Isaac from the dead. He believes in the power of resurrection. And you notice that as they go, Isaac asks his father, here's the wood, and here is the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abram, with quivering lips, says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And they go to that place, brokenhearted. They go to that place of sacrifice. But as Abram takes out the knife to plunge it into the bosom of his son, there comes a voice from heaven, Abram, Abram. And as he turns, the angel says, here is God's provision, a ram caught in the thicket. And there was the substitute. And thank God the substitute was slain and Isaac is set free. Now, of course, you can see in that story the great picture of the cross. Behind the story, there are great types and great pictures and figures of what God was going to do there on Calvary's cross. The Old Testament shows us the types and figures, and it's all unfolded in the New. And in the New Testament, we're told that Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How did Abram see the Lord Jesus? Well, he had seen him before in the picture of Melchizedek. He had seen him before in so many other instances. But here he sees what it was going to mean for the Holy One of God to bear away our sins. And he saw it, and the Bible says he was glad. What gladness there comes as we behold Calvary. We're told that Abram was justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Faith in the Savior. He wasn't saved some other way till we are saved. He wasn't saved by some other method or some other gospel to that which we are saved by. He was saved by grace and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaac, in many ways, is the Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the type of the one who was willing to give himself that we might be saved. And so, men and women, we come to the cross today. We come to that most sacred ground where we see the dying love of the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see the aspects of the cross that are depicted here as we look at Genesis chapter 22. The first thing I want you to see is the place of the cross. Look at verse 3. It says, "And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." Just look at what it says there. The place of which God had told him. Look again in verse 4. "And on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Look at verse 9. "And they came to the place which God had told them of." The place. How that place must have haunted Abraham's dreams. Mount Moriah. You know what Moriah means? It means foreseen of God. And that place had been foreseen of God. That place was something that had been foreseen and chosen as the place, the exact place where the sacrifice would take place. And there was nothing accidental about it or coincidental about the place. This was fundamental to the plan and purposes of God. God had a place on earth where the sacrifice was going to take place. And he wanted Abram to take Isaac to the place. And so was Calvary foreordained of God. There was one place in the plans and purposes of God, foreshadowed in the Old Testament. There are many people indeed who think that Moriah and Calvary were the same place. And if they weren't the same place, they were very, very close to one another. Because when you look at the mountains of Jerusalem, and Mount Moriah was the place where Jerusalem was later to be built. If you look at the mountains of Jerusalem, they almost merge into one mountain. So we could say, whether it is the exact place, or whether it is just close to the place, it is the same place as Calvary. And in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." And in eternity past, God had set his heart and mind upon this place. And when Jesus walked the way of the cross, he was going to the place that God had set out. The Lord Jesus, it says, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He came down from heaven's glory. He entered into this world of woe with one set aim and object in view. And that was the salvation of his people at that place that is called Calvary. God had that place set out in his mind. It was chosen and ordained of God. But not only do we see the place of the cross, but I want you to see the preliminaries of the cross spoken of here. Because look again at verse 4. It says, "Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and come again to you." So the young men went with Isaac and with Abram as far as the place where they saw Mount Moriah. A few years ago when we were in Israel, we stood at that place that many people would think, just as you come up from Hebron, along what they call the Way of the Patriarchs. And it's the first view that you get of Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, all of that place. And Isaac and Abram saw the place. And they said to the young man, "You stay here." To all the servants, "You stay here. And I and the lad will go further." What does that remind us of? Well, surely it reminds us of Gethsemane. Remember how the Lord Jesus came with the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane? And in Mark chapter 14, if you turn over to it, you'll read how it says that the Lord Jesus would go further. Look at Mark chapter 14. Look at verses 33 to 35. It says, "And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the night might pass from him. And you notice what happened. Peter and James and John are there. First of all, he leaves the disciples, and Peter and John, James and John, go with him a little further. But then he goes on alone. He goes into that place. And in verse 36, you'll see, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but what thou wilt. So in the garden, who is there? The Lord Jesus and the Father. The Father and the Son are in the garden. Remember how he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood to the ground. But here in the book of Genesis, Isaac and Abram go further. In the garden of Gethsemane, it is the Father and the Son that go further. And you notice what happens. It says, here's old Abram, and he is with with his son, and they go a little further. And in verse 7, it says that Isaac says, Behold the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And with sad eyes, and with a very heavy heart, Abram says, The Lord will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And you notice that Isaac asks no questions. I think that Isaac understands. Indeed, we understand from the scriptures that Isaac does understand. Isaac senses. He knows. And he asks no more questions. But he goes to the place of sacrifice. Now you think of that here was Isaac, and in verse 22, or Genesis 22, you have as close a reflection as you can get to what it meant for the God the Father to send his son to Calvary. You know, you think of Abram's heavy heart. You know, those of us that are parents today, we can understand to some degree and measure. Before we had children, we understood what it was that our Savior did when he went to the cross. We knew that he went as a sacrifice. But you know, when you're a parent, you understand, at least to some degree, what it must have meant for the Father to give the Son. If our children are sick, we would do anything for them. If they are suffering, we would want to take the suffering for them. And here is the Father who gave the Son, and gave him to death, and gave him to wrath, and gave him to suffering beyond anything that we could imagine. And you think of what it must have meant for Abram when he said, Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go further into sufferings, further into sacrifice. I and the lad will go further, and God has gone further for us, further than anyone could imagine, further than anyone could even have any idea about. God has gone so very far for us, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. Oh man, woman, he's gone far for you. Those of you that are outside of Christ, he's gone so far. Oh, what heights he went to, what depths he plumbed, that you might be saved. We notice the preliminaries of the cross. I and the lad, he says, will go further. But also notice the premeditation of the cross. Look at verse 6. It says, And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And then verse 8 says, And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. What does that mean? Well, you notice the premeditation of the cross. It said that Isaac began to understand what was taking place. Abram, of course, knew what was taking place. But they went with willingness. They went with premeditation. They went willingly to do what God had bid them
to do, even though it meant suffering,
even though it meant sacrifice. And remember at this time that Abram was over 100 years of age. Some people think that maybe he was 120, 130, because the words for a lad there, where it speaks of Isaac, doesn't really mean a young lad or a boy that had not reached maturity, but it does mean a lad that has reached maturity. And in those days, that was 30 years of age. So Isaac here could have been 30 years of age, and Isaac, or Abram, if that was the case, would have been 130. Now you can imagine that if Isaac wanted to overcome Abram, he could have done that very readily. Or even if he had taken to his heels and ran, there's no way Abram would have caught him up. So Isaac had to be willing. If when Abram took the cords to bind him to the altar, Isaac rose up and tried to overcome his father, there was no way that Abram would have kept him there on the altar. And we see the willingness of Isaac and the premeditation there. He went to that place willingly. You think of what our Savior said. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Remember what was said on the cross, or when the Savior was on the cross, how there were those that mocked him. They said he saved others, himself he could not save. They got it wrong. They should have said himself he would not save. He went willingly. He gave himself in a premeditated way. He gave himself to the cross. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, that we might be saved, that he might shed his blood for us. Oh, thank God for the premeditation of the cross. It was in the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. But also, when you look at the pain of the cross, look again at verse 6. It says, "And Abram took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac." There is the burden that he bore. Now, wood in the Bible very often speaks of humanity. You know, when it speaks of the Lord Jesus as being human and predicts and prophesies his humanity. For example, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he's a root out of a dry ground. He's often spoken of as the branch. One of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the branch, and that typifies his humanity. And we think of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Isaac, and he bears the wood upon his back. And that speaks of the Lord Jesus there as he went to the cross, bearing the sins of men and women. The Bible says, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." All his people, their sins were laid upon him. In John chapter 19 and verse 17. If you look at it, turn over to John chapter 19 and verse 17. And as you look at the verse of Scripture, bear in mind Isaac going up to Mount Moriah. John chapter 19 and verse 17. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus there in John 19 verse 17. As I say, keep in mind Isaac bearing the wood to Mount Moriah. It says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." The Lord Jesus bore the cross, bore our sins, sank down beneath its weight, and was exhausted as he went to the cross. But thank God he bore it. He bore our sins, and he bore our sorrows. And then look at verse 9. It says, "And Abram built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Now you notice that there are three elements there. There is the cord to bind. There is the wood to burn. And there is the knife to bleed. There's a knife to cut. So there are three elements there. There's the binding, there's the bleeding, the burning. The cord to bind, the knife to bleed, and the wood to burn. And of course, those three elements speak to us of the suffering that our Saviour and the pain that he bore on Calvary. There's the binding, bleeding, burning penalty of sin. Sin has binding power. The Bible speaks of the bondage of sin. Then it binds the sinner every day. It also has the bleeding, because our Saviour had to bleed and die. And it speaks of death and the bleeding power of sin. And then there's the burning power of sin, because its penalty is hell forever. And Jesus on the cross bore all that. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might be free. He took the blinding power of sin. He took the blinding agony of sin upon his own body. And the wrath of God then poured out upon him. And he paid all in full. Thank God, every part of the price of sin was paid. And he took the full penalty. He took the binding. He took the bleeding. He took the burning, that we might be forgiven. And he's willing to forgive those that come to him. If he took all that, and you will come to him today, if you will confess your sins, he will forgive you. Oh, what love, what boundless love. The love of God to me that brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. So we notice the pain of the cross and the penalty of the cross. But also look at the provision of the cross. Look at what it says here. It says, "And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said, Here am I. And if you look at verse 14 there, it says, "And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now there you have the provision of the cross. The name Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And God provided here. He provided, what did he provide? He provided a ram caught in the thicket, a substitute. Now Isaac has gone to the cross and he's willingly gone there, but now the picture changes a little bit and God brings in another element. Isaac has been bound to the altar. Abram has taken the knife to plunge it into the breast of his own dear son. And God speaks and he says, "Abram, Abram." And he says, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad." He says, "Here's a ram caught in a thicket." And of course the ram there, caught in a thicket, again is the substitute. And again that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its head is caught in a thicket. Of course, it's wearing a crown of thorns. It's in a thorn bush, wearing the crown of thorns. And God says, "Take the ram and put the ram to death. And Isaac will go free." And when Isaac saw the ram, I'm sure, I wonder, did he run and put his arms around the ram and give the ram a big embrace? But thank God the blood was shed and the blood flowed. And thank God that the cross was the substitute. He died for me. Look at verse 14 again. "And Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." God provided. And God has provided the way of salvation. You know, you don't need to do anything today. You don't need to go through any ceremonies. You don't need to go through any rites or rituals. God has provided. Remember what Abram had said? "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And that's what happened at Calvary. God himself became the Lamb. He became the Ram. And Abram was looking down through the tunnel of time. And the Bible says he saw my day and was glad. And he saw the one who would be the substitute. He saw his own seed dying there on the center cross of Calvary. The Lord provided himself a lamb. And it says, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. On Mount Calvary, men saw what God would do. And that's the reason why John the Baptist one day pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The only Lamb. God's Lamb. He must be a substitute for you. Is he your substitute? Have you taken, as it were, what he has done there on the altar for you? He has borne our sins and our sorrows. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we see that there in the picture of the cross at Calvary. He gave his Son for us to be our substitute, to bear our penalty, to take our hell. And he literally took our hell and took our punishment that we might be free. And all you have to do now is take what he's offered in the gospel. How simple that is. How simple that is. Why don't you come? Why don't you take what he has freely offered in the gospel? Why don't you come and be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Oh, what matchless love he had for us. Oh, men and women, come to the Savior today and trust the blessed Redeemer. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let